Hello, everybody.
Hey.
This is Kill the Rabbit Podcast. We took last week off for some reason, I don't know. And this week's been going good. I think I had some aha moments about just not tricking yourself, but just learning. Like for me, I start detailed and complex and kind of working back to simple. Like very simple things that you're supposed to do. Like go to the gym is hard because I think, well, I have to do my plan and then my diet and then my protein and then my running and then my shoes. And just realizing if you just go to the gym, the other things will fall in place.
It's easy to get your life too complicated, isn't it? Because there's always,
Yeah.
you always got to keep a watch on the door and make sure that things aren't crowding into your life that are, because you lose sight of the foundational things that you need to make sure are happening. And all of a sudden, like you say, you're working out, that gets put off or crowded out, and actually that was something that you really determined that you needed, so.
Well, and like for diet too, like I was talking to my doctor, because I'm always trying to simplify things, right? Because he's like, you're fat, you need to lose weight. It's like, okay. He's like, don't eat at night. That's what you're doing. I look at you and I know exactly what you're doing. You're eating at night. You're burning a lot of calories because you're a big dude, just size-wise, not even fat. But you're eating after 8 p.m., you're eating fat foods, and your body isn't burning those calories. You're just turning them into fat as you go to sleep.
And, when you stop to think about what you just said, eating at night, one of the habits of the culture that your wife comes from is that they tend to eat the evening meal later at night, right? Is that, do they do that on all the
No,
time or
that's not
just
typical.
or
Only for parties.
only for parties?
So,
Okay.
like, they'll actually eat more frequently than we do. So, they'll eat. So, like, dinner is at like 4. Lunch is like 12. And then they have breakfast. So, they actually eat breakfast. Whereas we, as Americans, typically don't. We'll skip breakfast 9 times out of 10.
You don't count your donut in the morning,
No.
or
Well, I can't do donuts. Donuts give
okay.
me indigestion now that I'm older. It's really weird. I'll eat something and then it'll give me indigestion.
I love donuts, but then I end up thinking about them for the rest of the morning and the
Yeah, it's
afternoon, and
just
so.
too, it's too much. So then in the morning I hate breakfast because I don't like complicated things. I don't like variety. So like if I go to a restaurant, I order the same thing every single time because I know that's what I like and I know that's what I get. So in the morning I'll make like a green shake where I'll combine a bunch of vegetables and blend them up so I just drink it down so I don't have to eat it because I don't like it. So that helps. So just like finding little hacks that you can do to your life that will actually make it better and make it easier for you to do. Because at the end of the day, you need to be consuming those greens. Doesn't matter if they're blended or you cook them. No, it doesn't matter. Don't, I mean, cooking them takes some of the nutrients out, but it helps me to just blend it up, drink it down, and it's done. Like I would blend every meal if I could. Except for the ones that I really like. So with those types of things, like the simplistic types of things at work, we've had so we have like a task tracking type situation. So you have two different kinds of software development plans of action of how you do development. You'll have a Kanban. Kanban is we have 10 tasks, and everyone just picks up a task and does it. And when they're done, they
Is
pick up
that
the next
short for
one.
something, or
I don't know. I think it's a military term.
CONBON, or?
It's Kanban.
Oh.
But I'm not sure. I think it's a military or some type of like strategic thing. And then you have sprints. So then sprints is you have an allotment of time, which is typically 2 weeks, and then you will assign tasks to certain people. And it is their job to get those specific things done in this 2 week time period.
Okay.
Now, with software development, it's very hard because you're dealing with a lot of things that you've never done before, or they're new or creative, and that in and of itself is difficult. So it actually takes at times a day or two to ascertain how long something will take. So you can't, it's very hard to like compartmentalize that, even though you have to do it because you have to have a schedule. You can't just say, hey boss, I'm going to get it done when it gets done. Well, how do we know that you're not, we can, I'm a good person, you're a good person, but not everyone is a good person. They'll take advantage of that situation.
Sure.
So you have to have a system that kind of applies for everybody. But programmers hate it because we hate schedules, we hate being put in a corner, we hate getting pushed. But the bad side is our projects that we have, a lot of our personal projects, or even some of the dev shops that you kind of do whatever you want to, they never get done because you're just like, well, I'm almost done, I'm still refining. It's never going to be done, right? You're always going to improve on it. So I was thinking about that because I was really feeling the pressure because I took over a project that was in front end engineering. So I'm a back end engineer. So I do all background processes. So like all the stuff that happens behind the scenes in Gmail or on Facebook, things like that, I do. Things you never see, right?
Right.
The stuff you do see is front end, right? That's typically like a JavaScript. You could have like there's different JavaScript libraries that you can utilize. JavaScript in and of itself is a programming language. It's a client-side programming language. So the back end is where the server is. The client is where you are sitting and looking at the screen.
Right.
So you click something, it's actually firing and executing something in JavaScript right then and there.
Okay, I got you.
I don't know how to do that. I've done it before, I'm not very good. But I wanted to be a team player, so I took over the project. So I've been slowly learning over the last couple of weeks all of these things that I have no idea what I'm doing, and I'm doing a data dumps with the guy that was doing it previously, and it's just very hard for me and it's really stretching me. But the hard part is the schedule keeps marching on and I'm like, time out, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't really guarantee something's going to be done if I've never done it before.
And normally, in a case like that, you would think that a company would hire somebody that already has the skill rather than.
Well, and we have someone on staff that does have the skill, they just reside in another country. So the problem is that I need something, and then we have to wait to tomorrow to even converse or hear a reply from this person. And there has been times when it's just a reply with more questions. So that's another day you lost. And if you're stuck, that's very bad.
So the guy who has the front end experience lives in Singapore, right?
I don't know if he lives there specifically,
But
but
what kind of time difference are we looking at? Like right now it's, 8:30 at night. What time is it, say,
like
there?
the at it's like 8 or 10 hour difference.
Oh, okay.
So like at 6 a.m., no, at 8 p.m., it's like 9 a.m. there.
Okay.
So like I'm going to sleep, this person's waking up.
So what doesn't help necessarily, fortunately, I know you've been talking to this guy, and so you've been talking to him late into the night, which for a lot of people isn't typically their best time to be having
No.
to think through problems, because you're far
No.
from being fresh.
It depends how much time I have in between to think about something or have a break. Because I can do both. I do good in the morning and I do good at night. Only if I'm involved, if I'm picking up something, then it's harder. But if this is something that I'm really having problems with, then my brain doesn't stop. So it just keeps going. But my suggestion was, why don't I take this over? And then we'll have someone in our time zone who understands not only the code, but also all the project and the things we're trying to do. So the hard part has been for me is like, how do you ascertain how much time something is going to take if you don't know how to do it, A, and B, building it in a framework or language that you've never done before? It's almost impossible. You can't estimate that.
Right.
But the things still have to get done. So like, the guy still has to be, lead the group and make sure things happen, otherwise nothing will get done. So that's been my struggle. So then I kind of had an aha moment where I said, the main point is that the thing gets done. And the thing, it just take it word for word. Don't add anything else, because I'll look at it and say, it would be better if we added these things to it. It would make it more robust. That doesn't matter. Do the task. Don't do it right by your standards.
Right.
Because you just create more work for yourself. And although you're satisfied, everyone around you is not, because the task is not getting done. That's the only thing that a project manager is looking at. Now, I've done project management, so I understand from that side, because they have a lot of things going on, and they're just like, oh my gosh, I just don't need you to be a problem for me. So as that applies to Realm, all this training and all this learning and all these things, it's been very, very, very hard and stretched me really a lot. Like, I'm not used to not knowing. I'm used to not knowing something and then experimenting within my sandbox, but I'm not used to, like, going to a whole other park and playing in the sandbox there where not only I don't understand the problem, I don't even understand the building blocks that I'm going to use to fix the problem.
And who knows what the cats in that park have been doing in that sandbox.
Exactly.
So, you know,
okay. Those are not what you think they are. So all this came to a climax, and all this came to fruition, and I was able to just knock it out. And this is something that was taking me weeks to do, and I did it in a day. But that's because you spent all that time and effort learning the ins and outs and really ensuring that you understood what was happening. Because every night I would be like, this isn't working. And he's like, no, that's because you're not accounting for this. And it's like, I would have never thought of that. So I got it done today, and I got the task done. So I started thinking about how that pertains to the realm. Now, the realm, I feel that I'm working on version 1 through 100 simultaneously. Because I'm working through something, and as you work through something, as you walk down the path of the in the park, you notice other paths. And it's like, I need to make a mental note to go down there next time. Let me go ahead and make a note in my phone, or let me go down that path and then come back. And then before you know it, you're lost and you didn't get to the destination, right? You're supposed to walk through the park to go to KFC, and that's it. That's the goal. Not walk through the park, explore the park, end up on the other side of Timbuktu. That's what happens to me a lot.
Right.
Because I'm not a perfectionist. I'm just looking at something and saying, oh, this would be cool if I did it this way too. Yada, yada, yada. So in working on versions 1 through 100 that I'm unaware that I'm doing, nothing ever gets done. So you never have anything end-to-end that's working. You just have a bunch of things that you tinkered with in the garage, and none of them work.
Right.
So you effectively, the net effect is you have nothing. But in my mind, I think I have a lot of things. Right. You have a lot of things, but nothing to completion.
Everything's in process, nothing's complete.
Yeah, and nothing isn't, and it's an exponential problem, because as I'm getting closer to completion, I'm adding more things. So it's like more. It's killing me. But up until this point, I was unaware that I was doing that. So then I kind of reframed how I'm doing it now. So before I have 450 tasks, and I have current development that I'm working on, the current grouping of things that I'm working on. So now I'm throwing that out. So I'm saying, what is the thing? What is the release from end to end? So go from the app, go through all the servers, and turn the light on. That's one. That's the release. Only do the tasks that are related to that, and only do that until it is done. At that point, you are done, and you have plateaued, and you can build on that system.
Right.
All the things you learn in progress as you're doing R&D and researching and doing programming, write it down, keep a note of it, don't do it. So I noticed this thing I could have added in my task at work. I was like, that's going to be very complicated. I'll have to do... Forget that. Screw it. Don't write it down. Don't do it. So I've learned with my urge, just like in my eating habits, if you love what you're eating, it's bad. That's why you love it. Rule of thumb, if you don't like it, it's probably good for you. You should eat it. That's how my mind works. It's very extremist. So the thing that I think it just blew my mind was I was like, just do, qualify what a release is. A release is something end-to-end with nothing or no breaks in between, nothing in progress, everything is completed.
Okay.
You can have other pieces that are not done in there, but they will not be part of the release. So the release in my mind is click on the app, click a button only, no voice activation, no AI, no camera, no Snapchat filter, none of that. It goes through and cycles through all the infrastructure on the back end and turns the light on and turns it off. That is the release. Those are the bare bones. And in my mind, I think, but that's nothing. Right, but that's where you're starting. Like, we would never have cruise control, power steering, anti-lock brakes if we didn't have the Model T.
You know, I suppose when you think about it, if you're looking at a project in terms of phases, which is very common, where phase one, you focus on phase one, you get it completed, you test it, make sure everything is running fine before you move on to phase two. And then when you incorporate phase two, on top of phase one, you're going through that same process, but because you've been doing things incrementally, like, you know, one step at a time, if you run into a problem, you can say, okay, well, let me go back to the previous step where everything was working fine. And it helps you to isolate maybe a problem as you're moving along, if you know everything's working. Like you're saying, just focus on turning the light on or whatever, and let's just make sure that that's working completely fine. And then let's move on to the next one before we, instead of trying to do it all at the same time.
Because you're understanding what it is. It's not a goal, and it's not, I need to get these tasks done. You're getting the task done for the end purpose. What is the end purpose? The Realm Home Automation System end purpose is to be bare bones and enhanced on. Like, that's what I keep not being able to get through my brain, is that you just can't, don't, you know, build version 10 of the light, but you're still on version 1 of the important engine pieces, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what really hit home for me, of just like, when you have that it's not even a goal, when I have the vision of what it is I'm going to work towards, how I'm going to, you know, when you build a house, you pour the foundation first, you actually do the plumbing first and then the foundation. Like, certain things need to happen before other things happen.
But wouldn't you say that you had this epiphany from what's been going on at work?
Yes.
Where you lost sight of what was it that my management, even though they don't really understand completely what they're asking, they did say specifically they wanted this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't help that they don't really understand what goes into creating that thing.
Yes.
But if you lose sight of doing that one thing, you may do something that dazzles your brain over here. But if it's not accomplishing the goal that they had set for you, it's kind of a ho-hum thing to them because they don't really see the...
Well, and that's where you have to think about what is the relevance of the issue. So if my mechanic says, oh, well, I'm really sorry, I actually wasn't able to completely fix your thing because things are very complicated. If I were to be honest with myself, I would get rid of the mechanic, because I pay the mechanic because he has a level of expertise. I don't care. It's interesting, the engineering that goes into the mechanical engineering and the mechanics of a motor, but I don't care about that. At that given point in time, I've paid someone else, I've delegated that to someone else because they're an expert in that field. The only thing I care about is it done or is it not done?
The only difference I would say would be is that when you're thinking about your automobile, everybody has been led to believe, and I think this is accurate, that there's really nothing that can go wrong in this car, that there's somebody that should be able to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe 95%.
Yes.
Every once in a while there's something that nobody ever thought of, but pretty much. But with your job, you're working on cutting edge technology and stuff that we've never been here before.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very difficult to be able to look at something like that where you say, well, like your boss was saying, how much longer do you think it's going to be? And
you can't really... But you have to understand, it's very hard to put a time or amount of time that it will take to complete that thing. But you also have to understand, it's very important for me that they understand the technological difficulty that I'm going through to get it done. But it still has to get done. And I feel that as software engineers, you get away from that understanding of simplicity. Like, it has to just get done.
You know, I think you said something in an earlier job that kind of I'm reflecting on now. Somebody was asking you how long something was going to take, and you were able to effectively get them to understand that, okay, you need to give me time so that I can get to that point where I can give you an answer of how long it's going to take.
Mm-hmm.
And because right now I could pull a number out of the air, but it wouldn't mean anything because right now, at this point in the process, I have no clue how long this is going to take. So what you need to do is be patient, and whatever length of time it takes me to get to the point where I can tell you affirmatively, yeah, I think we'll be done with this in a week. And I think that was a breakthrough with, like, your management there, because they began to realize what they were asking was, and a lot of the programmers wanted to tell them what they wanted to hear, but they were just blowing smoke because they had no clue how long things were going to take.
Well, and sometimes it's better to be honest and you know, it's going to take some discovery time to get into it. And, you know, and it's the same thing with, like, research and development. Research and development is a weird animal because I can research and develop something 95% and scrap the entire thing. And you would think, but you were 95% done. No. At 95%, I realized there was no way I could go to 100% and all of it has to go in the trash.
Yeah.
Now, is it lost? No, it's not regret work because I've already done the work and I understand the process much better so that I can make better choices in the future. But from a project management standpoint, that's very frustrating because it's a cyclical thing that doesn't make any sense to you as a project manager. Because you're like, well, time out. Just put it at 100%. It's like, no, if we go to 100% with this, number one, it won't ever work. Number two, if we just call 95% 100%, you're not getting what you really want because of all the things that you don't understand.
But at the end of the day, the project manager is expecting to have something to show for all the effort. And if you go 95% and end up scrapping it because it's going nowhere, that's, we just wasted all this money and time and whatever.
Yes. Well, and that's the weird effect that, you know, I did one thing in 3 weeks and then I did it the next day once I was fully aware of everything that I was doing, and I did the next thing in a day that would have taken 3 weeks previously. So you see that going to 95% several times over the course of the 3 weeks, it's actually very beneficial because now I'm very well versed on what I'm doing. Whereas I would not have had that if I'm just struggling to get it done and struggling to, well, I know you don't understand it, just get it done, just do it, just get someone else to do it and you patch it together. That actually doesn't get you anywhere.
Right.
And you just constantly are at 20% instead of taking the time that it takes to learn the new system and the new framework and really understand the whys to be able to do that. So that, to me, that was really an aha moment that seems very dumb.
You know, if for me, which is probably true of the bulk of the people who might be listening or out there someplace, when I don't know how to do something, I want to go to Google, I want to go to YouTube or wherever I can find somebody who's already done something.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with cutting edge technology is that field of people is very rare, if it exists at all, of people who've already done something, because again, that's the nature of cutting edge technology. It's not been done before.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you start going off into that realm, you're probably thinking more in theoretical terms because we can't look at anything concretely and say, well, this is why they did it over here, so I guess like if I duplicated that, you know.
Well, and it's very, you can skin a cat 100 different ways in development.
Right.
So like Twitter made the choice to build their entire framework on Ruby on Rails, and then eventually with as many users and as much stuff was that was happening on their framework, they had to completely redo in another technology. Why? Because they were kind of getting to a bottleneck where they couldn't go any further, but they were still growing. So like those, an answer may, so it's two-sided. So you can have several answers to one question, and then you can have several answers to one question that for this time period is correct, but beyond this time period is not, or beyond these other parameters changing, all of a sudden is not a good solution anymore. Hmm. That's where it's multifaceted, and it gets very difficult to deal with those kinds of problems.
Hmm. That's good.
I don't know. That's for me. What's been happening with you?
I've had an interesting, month and a half here or whatever. I got sick a while back, and it just lasted forever, and I have no idea what I had, but it seems that a lot of other people had it too. And it kind of drained me. There was no motivation. I was feeling lousy. Still had to go to work because I couldn't just stay home. Wasn't able, and it was all the more frustrating because I wanted to be able to accomplish some things, but I couldn't think. My head was in a fog, and so that made it kind of difficult. I'll have to admit, I think that in the last couple of weeks, I have to go back to just thinking about this word perseverance that keeps popping up into my mind. I know I've mentioned it numerous times, but it's been in short supply in me. I haven't really been somebody who perseveres through something, which is all why I've always kind of admired the way you look at a problem and you start off and you have no clue where you're going to go with it, but you stay with it. That hasn't been my modus operandi. You know, I haven't functioned quite that way. So this has been a real challenge for me to just stick with it and not look at something like I have done in the past where I would say, oh, this is really hard. I guess this really isn't something I should stick with because it's hard, you know. Never really thinking at the time that, well, wait a minute. So are you assuming that people who are doing things that you admire that take a lot of stuff to do, that they just kind of do it like falling off a log or something? You know, didn't they have to sweat some to be able to do it? So it just kind of, you know, and this is kind of confession time here. I realize that, you know, I've been kind of, I haven't really pushed myself hard enough on stuff. Right now at work, I'm pushing myself to learn more in the design area. It's been a stretch for me to do that, but that's okay. I'm going to be taking my certification test for the third time. You know, for those of you who are thinking, well, after two times, you just give it up. Well, I just decided, no, I'm not going to.
There really isn't another option.
No, there isn't. No, that's true.
You can give up, and then it's just like, well, I mean, but then what if you hit it on the third time?
And they give you three tries. So I said, well, would that be stupid to not try it again?
Yeah.
And so I'm going to do that. So that, you know, this is progress for me. And I think the problem for a lot of people is they look at their life and they do the big C word, the comparison thing with everybody else, and they say, well, you know, but that guy over there, or that girl over there, forget it. They're not you. You know, I look at myself and I say, if this is a victory for me that somebody else may just kind of ho-hum it, that's okay.
Yeah.
Because it's my victory. And as far as sticking with the book, I haven't quit on the book, which is really kind of interesting to me because I think in years gone by, I would have quit just because it got so hard that I would just say, well, I just can't do that.
It's like you look for the excuse to give up.
Yeah, you really do. And then, you know, I've always been in great admiration of, you know, the geniuses of years gone by. But even some of those people, you look at their lives and you realize that the old adage is really true. You know, genius really is, what is it, 5%? Inspiration and 95% perspiration. That's probably really true because a lot of them really went through a lot to get to where they got. We call them geniuses, but had they not had a good work ethic, had they not persevered, would they really have arrived at some of the, you know, aha moments that they did that we're all benefiting from now? Probably not. So all that to say, I haven't really made a ton of progress on the writing at this point. I did find a book that I picked up on just in my research of, because I was having some difficulties getting past some barriers in things about my writing. And so I was really scouring, you know, different resources to try to find some ideas and how to blow through this roadblock. And I finally found somebody. As a matter of fact, I should probably mention it as long as we're talking here. It's a book by Dwight Swain, Techniques of the Selling Writer. Now, the title of this book would have never drawn me in the past, except that somebody that I've been doing a lot of reading on does a lot of quoting of this guy. So I decided to get it. It's written by a guy who teaches writing. It has been for quite a few years. And it's really good, and it really got down to answering some of the things that I needed to think about. And let me just give you one example here. He really talks a lot about really thinking about where your drive and your passion is coming from to write. If you don't have strong feelings about something, how are you going to be able to evoke those kinds of feelings in someone else? And so when you're thinking about writing, again, the dollar sign has to take a back seat. You really need to be thinking about writing, and whatever you're going to write, there needs to be some strong feelings about it.
And what's the guy's name again?
Dwight Swain, Techniques of the Selling Writer. I've really enjoyed reading it because he's got some great ideas. And like I said, it wouldn't necessarily be what anyone else would need as far as writing. But I think the thing that it marks for me is that I'm sticking with it. I'm still working at it. I'm still looking for helps that will help me to get past roadblocks.
Mm-hmm.
That's a victory. That's really a victory for me,
mm-hmm.
to just continue to persevere at it. So I'm going to continue to read his stuff and in the book, but I'm also going to try to incorporate them in to the writing. And
well, it's good to have. I haven't done anything in the realm since we last talked, but it's good to when you have that aha moment to kind of just reassess and just see, okay, what can I put in place to help me not fall off the bandwagon or not go down the rabbit trail or all these things that happen on your daily life.
Right.
Like, just getting something done is such a hard thing to do because you have, in and of itself is not, but you have so many other responsibilities and time commitments that it makes it really difficult.
And you know what's interesting in all of this for me is it's interesting how persevering really in the process of hanging in there and hanging tough, you start to discover things about yourself. And I think that's been happening for me. Even as, you know, I'm getting older, you know, I'm discovering things. I feel like in a way, there are things that are happening that are giving me a sort of rebirth,
mm-hmm.
and an excitement of, okay, what's the next leg of my life going to look like here? Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to depend on what I do now. So the things that maybe I was fighting against, the difficult things that I ran away from, I'm forcing myself to face those things. And in the refining fire of all of that, I think I'm discovering some things about myself that have been very insightful and helpful.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty complicated creatures, and we have ways of dodging things that we find too hard. We take the path of least resistance so easily. And yet it's to our own detriment, because mm-hmm. a lot of times mm-hmm. on that higher road, which may look a little bit, you know, steep and difficult, is where the real discoveries you'll find that'll be worth the time and the effort.
Well, I mean, I guess the ultimate discovery is the discovery of yourself. And I've been really working on, when I was younger, someone would tell me something and I would get mad and that's the end of it. And so now as I get older, things still annoy me. And, you know, like with these tasks, like, well, is it done? It's like, I just explained to you how hard this is. Yeah, but is it done? And, you know, with taking that concept that made me upset and realizing, like, okay, if it makes you upset, it's probably an area of growth.
You have to ask yourself, why are you getting angry?
And it's either an area of growth or you need to have a paradigm shift. Because you're either looking at this incorrectly, you should try to always take the path of least resistance to make it, because life is hard enough. But yeah, you're right. It's just, so looking at that and saying, okay, what can I learn from the situation? I don't like this because why? Because they're not understanding it's complex. Okay, that's fine. Let's say they do, right? And, you know, you were hired to deal with the complex things, so they don't care. Like, let's keep it simple. And the simplistic viewpoint is they just want you to do it. So how do you get there the fastest way?
Right.
And as a programmer, getting there the fastest way is like the most horrible, agonizing thing in the world. But because you want to do all the things and you want to do it right and you want it to, oh, my code doesn't look good, or, you know, I'm going to convert it in another language, and I'm going to, you know, all these things, right? That in and of itself is not bad. It's a constant refinement. That's a good thing. But in the real world where we live, you know, like I said with the car, if the Model T was never invented, all those other inventions for the car wouldn't have been invented, because
exactly.
You have to start with the foundation. So that's what I've been trying to work on myself, and now I'm going to apply that. And I think it'll be more exciting because I think it's something more tangible as far as a goal. Because I think goals are misleading, because once you pass them, then you're just – a goal is literally nothing. So you pass it and you're like, what do I do now? Whereas if you have something that you can build something on, like what is the foundation? What's the thing that I can do that's done forever that I can build on top of it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think goals aren't necessarily meant to be achieved. A lot of times it's merely a direction that they point that gives you something to shoot for.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also, once you get to a certain point, either there's course corrections or there's resetting a new goal if you happen to achieve that goal.
Yes.
So it's a dynamic thing that's going on there that keeps you going in a direction, but not necessarily the same one with each leg of the journey, because you may decide to go at a different, because you have more information now,
right?
Things like that.
Well, and you're right. The goals keep extending out into the future, and that's what they're designed to do. So, and then for this week, that's everything that happened. I guess for next week, I'm going to really try to assess what release one is, and then organize the tasks for that, and only do those, and only do that, and not do anything else. And as things come up that are more complicated that I think of, I'll write it down and shove it in a box, and just do the one thing. So, I mean, this one thing that really pissed me off at work really is changing my perspective on how you get things done.
Hmm.
Like, making it simple for yourself.
Right.
Right? Don't worry about running the marathon. Just stop eating dinner at night. That's it. Not work out, don't run, don't join a gym, don't do yoga. All these other things that I think I need to do. Maybe I need to fast. Maybe I need to... You're not going to do any of those things. They're not sustainable. Just do the one thing, and then before you know it, you're not even thinking about it anymore, and you lost weight. So... And I have. So I stopped eating. I've actually lost weight. So,
good.
And it was a surprise to me because I wasn't paying attention. But that's good, because that means that it's, you know, it's working. It shouldn't have to be so difficult.
It also means it's potentially sustainable.
Yes. Because if you can forget it and still do it.
That's right.
That's probably a good thing.
That's cool.
So I guess for next week, I'll work on the realm and just really nailing down on release one, bare bones, and stripping everything else and holding myself back. So I'm not doing all these crazy things, and keep chugging away at work to try to just get the things done and knock them out. And then what about for you?
I don't know. Things are getting too hard. I think I'm just going to quit.
You can always quit. That's
okay,
the best.
Fine.
I actually said that in a meeting.
Did you?
They were like, well, we don't really know how we're going to do this. And I was like, well, I mean, we could just quit. They're
that's
like,
right.
Wow.
That's
like,
always
an option.
Yeah.
Everyone's complaining so much.
That's really
just give
true.
Up. It's easy.
No, I'm still reading this book and trying to incorporate some of it into writing. It's kind of interesting because he gives you some thoughts, but I don't know if you've ever struggled with this, where you're reading something and it's giving you a sense of how things should look, but it's like your mind is trying to work on it and come up with examples. Okay, so how do I flesh out what you just said into
mm-hmm.
this writing here? And I'm
mm-hmm.
struggling with that a bit. So I guess I need to wrestle with that a little bit more and maybe take some things that I've already written in the book and rewrite them with some of the concepts that he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That would, 'cause one of the things that came out of all of this, I've been used to doing journaling. Okay, journaling for the reader outside of you might consider it boring because it's just matter of fact kind of stuff that you're writing. But when you're trying to write something that's going to keep somebody on the edge of their seat,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be wondering about stuff. There's excitement and it shouldn't stop. And the plot needs to continue to build. That's a different kind of writing.
Yeah.
It's like you're saying tonight about, you know, the different types of software to the novice.
Yeah.
Who might think, well, that's just like this, isn't it? No, it's not. It's like two different universes, okay? And that's what I'm talking about here. These are two totally different types of writing that one that I was used to. And yeah, I've written some poetry, and yeah, I've written some short things and stuff like that. But to write a novel where you've got somebody who you don't know who's reading it, and they're entering into the lives of the characters and beginning to feel what the characters are feeling, and then your plot is moving along hopefully well and interesting, so that people would enjoy that what you're writing. That's an interesting challenge for mm-hmm. me. So I'm going to have to, like I said, I think the thing of it is, you were talking about being simple. I think I need to take a couple portions of what I've already written and just for the heck of it, see how I can incorporate those ideas mm-hmm, mm-hmm. into that passage or something. So that's really as far as I can say I'm going to be at this point.
That's great. So we'll hit it again next week.
Yep. All right.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.